Oh, blessed be thy wonderful name, Heavenly Father. We praise you, Lord, for thy promised word of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that thou hast granted us this grace. The Lord, you give us this gift of faith to cause us to see the work that our Lord Jesus had done for us. And understanding that, Lord, as we yield our life to you, you take a hold of us and you rearrange our whole life when you impart upon us, Lord, the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless the holy name. Not only what you have done for us to give us eternal life, but there waits for us a glad tomorrow, a place with you in heavenly places, in reality, O Father, when time shall be no more. And we thank you, Lord, for that dwelling place that you have prepared for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We ask for your blessing this morning, Lord, as you approach this subject of being born again. The Lord, we call you, just teach us to understand, Lord, what your word entails, Lord, as to this life that you give us. We ask for your blessing, and you bless all the young ones, Lord, to the understanding of this precious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A subject being born again or born again. What is it to be born again? We heard so much. We hear it many times said. And we all know very well what the Bible said. And we always talk about being born again. And one thing for sure, being born again is not turning over a new leaf. When we turn over a new leaf, we are trying our best to be a different person, to try to achieve certain goal. But we are not turning over a new leaf. Because when you turn over a new leaf, you can turn it back the same leaf. Isn't it? Alright? But when you are regenerate, when you are completely changed, you are a completely new person. So it's impossible for you to revert back if you are really being born again. You understand that? Alright? So like for example, you are already born in this world. We are alive, isn't it? You cannot say, I am not born. I wasn't born. You are already born, you cannot go back, not being born. You see, so we need to be born again. So we hear this subject and we understood the term very well, very often. But I guess we need to know a little bit more truly what being born again is. You read the newspaper, the American president will say, I'm a born again Episcopalian, I'm a born again Presbyterian, I'm a born again Methodist, and so forth. You know, but what truly is being born again? And the other question is, what is salvation actually? When we talk about being born again, what then is salvation? What constitutes salvation? What must a person do to have salvation? And if salvation is salvation, is salvation born again? Is it the same thing? Alright? I mean, these are terms we always use. Thou shalt be, you must be saved. You understand that? Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. Not a term that we read in the Bible. Let us look at John 3, verses of scripture that we know. Alright, John 3, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, that is truly, truly, I say unto him, I mean Jesus Christ. Whenever you read the Bible, when Jesus Christ says, Verily, verily, he is not speaking in tongue. As some people say, no, he's stumbling, you know, something like that. Or the Bible says, truly, truly. Or when Jesus said, believe me. That is a very strong emphasis on what he's trying to say. So he need to take heed. When Jesus said, very, very, I say unto you, or truly, truly, as some Bible will use the term, or believe me, okay? I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very, very, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows and listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell when it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knoweth not these things? Very, very, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have sinned, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Well, some of the things in this chapter or this passage we read, most of us hold to the King James Version. And many times you read, you know, I have received emails and questions about, Brother, please explain this verse to me, please explain this verse to me, or that verse, and so forth. And many of the time, the problem is that this question that came in, I realize that this brother or sister who wrote and asked question, it seems that they only have one Bible. I would understand that if they are in Africa or in India or maybe the Philippines, maybe they could not afford. But if this come from the state, those who could afford, in fact, they have computer. In fact, there are a lot of versions on the internet for them to check out. King James, a lot of people, because they feel the King James is the authorized version. Now, I can tell you one thing, this King James version, you can never find a good version than King James. But you must understand archaic words. Yes. It's a problem understanding archaic word. King James language in those times is very, very different from our time. Today, we don't say, thou shalt go with me for lunch. Will ye do this for me? That's the thing with, you know, you understand what I'm saying? You know, I understand thou thee and things like that. But, you know, we don't speak that no more. You see, so, when they talk about all these words that they use, and in fact, today our dictionary is very, very thick. Isn't it? It's getting thicker and thicker because of the guinea book that comes from the computer, and they say, oh, it's a word now, they use it. And even when generalists hear a certain word, it became a word today, so they compound the dictionary. They're so thick. In those days, King James, the words are very limited. So for those who study language, they say, oh, I wish I live in King James time, so I don't have so much to worry about all these words. But you see, because our keyword, what people don't understand the way that the Bible uses certain words. Okay, let us approach this here. Alright, and look at what Jesus is saying. Now, here we have Nicodemus, a Pharisee. He's a ruler, one who looked after some part of a group of Jews, or a certain sect within the Pharisaical group or religious camp. And he's supposed to know, being that he's a master, he wanted to know, who's supposed to know, spiritual thing, being a religious man, but apparently not. So when Jesus said, very, I said to you, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God, you cannot see, means you cannot understand. Now, just now we sang the song, what is the song? Make me like Jesus, healing and raising the dead. Now, people will think, when we sing the song, people say, wow, if I were like Jesus, healing and raising the dead, wonderful, isn't it? Now, healing and raising the dead, he does not necessarily mean all things literal. The spiritually is that you, if you are a Christian, God give you the anointing. To heal means to help somebody. To heal the wounded. To heal those who are troubled. To heal those who are, having problems with their life, you know. Help them understand. Raising the dead, spiritual, a lot of people are dead. So when you bring a person to Christ, meaning know Christ, you are actually raising him up from his spiritual death. You understand that? Jesus raised us up from our spiritual slumber. We are all, the Bible says, we are all dead in sin. We are all dead. But the Spirit of Christ came to quicken us, make us alive. You understand? So if we have only one-sided thought, not spiritual things, then we will think, oh, wow, everyone will sing the song, give me the power to judge, to raise the dead and heal the sick. You know what I mean? You see, as much as we sing the song, we will say that minister, when they sing the song, they would want to have it. You see, but then the Bible also tells us the given calling of God are without repentance. If you see to give somebody a certain power, a certain gift, he'll gift. Because everyone have hit. If every one of us have this gift, oh my, the world will be turned upside down, and I guess many of us will be doing it in the wrong way. You understand this now? So the same thing here, when we say the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God means to understand the kingdom of God. When you understand the kingdom of God, when you see in the spiritual realm. Now, we all, those of us here who are born again, who understand. Do you see the kingdom of God?
Yes.
What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? You see, it's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ working in His own body, and every one of us here, we are the kingdom of God. We make up that kingdom of God. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. He's talking about the Spirit of God. You cannot have a kingdom without a king. Now, who is the king? It's not only the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our king. You understand that? So when you talk to Nicodemus being spiritual, or we'll say a religious man, one who knows the Word of God in that time, yet there are little things he doesn't understand. But he is at least bold enough, being that he was a Pharisee, came to Jesus Christ. He came by night. Why did he come by night? Why did he go to Jesus Christ by night? Was because he did not want to be seen by the other Pharisees. Because the Pharisees were always opposing Christ, running him down, you know, because they were so holding on to their creeds and their dogmas of all the traditional things that they made up from all those generations past, using the Bible, also the tradition were added to the Word of God, and they hold this tradition. And they suppose know better about the Messiah and the Word of God, but apparently they don't. They didn't. So, every time when Jesus speaks, they were standing out there with the arm and listen to what you have to say, and then the chance came for them, they were trying to, you know, have a debate on argument with Christ and expose him and call, and say all manners of things about him or question him, try to put him into a corner and so forth. You know, so Nicodemus was the one that listened. They contradict his faith. What Jesus had been preaching. So he wants to know more from him. Because the thing that Jesus did, it cannot be of man. It must be of God. So he came to Jesus by night and asked him. So when Jesus saw him, talked to him, you must be born again. Except you be born again, you cannot see this kingdom of God. You will never know what it is. And the children of Israel, remember, they were looking for the kingdom of God. They were looking for the king to come and grant them the kingdom. You know that, don't you? You see, but when Jesus was speaking about this thing, he was not talking about the natural kingdom of God. He was talking about spiritual kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus starts to scratch and says, oh, how can a man, in verse 4, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he go back to the womb of the mother and born again? You know, when you talk about born again, go back and start over. And then Jesus said, better say, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. There are two things here you need to know. Water and Spirit. And that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Now, what is born of flesh is flesh. Many of us, perhaps reading the Bible, do not understand this. In simplicity, it means that when you are born flesh. You came into this world in flesh. That is flesh. What is born of flesh is flesh. That's it. But what is born of the Spirit is spirit. So here you have first birth. You are born into this world in flesh. Is that right? This body. But the second birth, Jesus said, you must be born again. This second birth involves your spirit. All have sinned, as the Bible said, and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Romans, Paul said that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what the Bible said when the Bible used the word glory of God? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is this glory? The glory of God is always the Shekinah glory of God, which means
His Word. Do you understand? We fall short of that standard of God's Word. That's why everyone falls short when we come into the world. No matter what has King David said, in my mother's womb am I conceived in sin. Was it Jeremiah that said that? Isn't it? In my mother's womb am I conceived in sin. When we came out into the world, we are already born sinners. You don't have to teach a child how to lie, what to do. He will lie. He can tell you where a child will lie. And as they grow up, they will still come to lie. And when they lie, they can lie in your face and say, no, I'm not lying. Double lie. You see? And as they are sure about it one more time. No, I'm not lying. I'm telling you, I'm not lying. So it's 3 times. No, I didn't lie. So it continues going on into adulthood. The people still lie. And that's the thing about it. Lie has always been because it started in the garden. And you know, a lot of people don't get convicted that they are lying. So when it comes to that state, they're falling short of the God's glory. So there must be something that needs to change. And I said this, and we all know, God changed a man not from the outside. He don't change you on the outside. He didn't turn you over a new leaf. You understand? He regenerates. He works from the inside out. God works from the inside out. It's just like the caterpillar. That's what the Bible always refers to, metamorphosis. We are changed from glory to glory. Like a caterpillar. You know what a caterpillar does, isn't it? It's to eat. Eat the leaf. Until whatever he eats, he will always, after a few days, he will mold. Is it molding? Yes. Molding. He will cut off this first layer because it's getting too big, so the other skin mold away, so it grows a little bigger, and so forth. Until such time when the caterpillar gets too fat, already he says, I have enough. I have matured now. It's matured already. Time for the body to change. So what happened? He began to spun a silk. Either from his mouth, some different species from his Quaker or whatever you call that. You know, and then start to spin. You see, what he takes in comes from the inside out. Do you understand now? God did not change it from the outside. He came the inside change. That's why he began to change it until he became a pupa. So from the inside now, he hid him from the world. They began to change. The mandible of the caterpillar disappeared. It comes out of proboscis. You know a sucker tube? It has sucker. When it was a caterpillar, you had to have this little funny little sucking leg to hold onto the leaf upside down. It won't fall out. You very well try to peel a caterpillar from the leaf, you stick to itself, isn't it? But what happened to that leg? It disappeared. It became long, thick, skinny leg. Isn't it? Now, what happened? This body began to bring forth wings. Wings. I mean, from a little looking worm that works and everybody says, yee. A lot of people don't like to see it. A lot of people don't touch it. Don't mean, no. Because they say it's worm. It's a pest, whatever it is. They're afraid. But you know, when it's a butterfly, butterfly. You know that, don't you? We all like to see a butterfly flitting around. So, you see the difference? We all are a caterpillar now. We are all ugly. You think you're handsome. You think you're beautiful. We are all ugly. All the this is what we are. But God is going to change from the inside out because of what the food we take in. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is caterpillar is caterpillar. That which is going to be spirit is spirit. And once you are changed, you will become something beautiful. But God is going to work from the inside out. Do you see this point? So you need to be born again. Therefore, Jesus said, what is flesh is flesh. What is spirit now. Don't get confused. There's no way that you can turn over a new leaf and say, I can go to heaven. A lot of people, and that's why Catholicism has, when the church in the early days came to this state and bind the people, you have to do penance, you know, work on your knees, the Martin Luther did, climb up the hill like you see in the Philippines on Good Friday, they still whip themselves, carry the cross, nail themselves to the cross, right? You see, they think by doing this, they are turning over a new leaf, trying to do something to themselves to prove that they are worthy of going to heaven. I can tell you what, you are not worthy without Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you have Jesus Christ in the heart, how can you do something better than what Jesus has done for you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. If Jesus Christ did it, He did it all. He didn't do a sloppy work and only say, oh, Father, I'm so sorry, I only performed 99.99999%. There's one little 0.0001% that must be fulfilled by the people.
then I can tell we are in trouble. You know that? Because it's impossible. No matter how we fail, we will fail, we will fail. But I say this one more time. As long as we are overcoming, the Bible says, be an overcomer. Amen. If you overcome, you see with me. If you overcome, you did this. So we are overcoming. As long as in this life, as Paul said, I press to work with the monk, the high calling. I got the prize, you know what I mean? I have the prize there. I'm just going to grab it. I run, I fall, I get up, I run, I fall, I get up. You understand this important thing? As long as you overcome, you are in a state of overcoming. You fail, God is not going to touch the sin to you or come. He can't. Jesus paid it all. Father, look up from heaven. He said, see, look at that one. He fell. Jesus said, he's overcoming. He's overcoming. Look at him. He's getting up now. He's still running. Right? Fall again. No problem. Get up. As long as you get up and you overcome, fight. Because remember, the Christian life is not a picnic. We are in a battle, you know. We are in a battle for truth. The story, what does the song say? Oh, a Christian soldier and so forth, right? Yeah, we are all soldiers. We are going us to war. We are fighting a warfare. Who are we fighting? We are not fighting something that the Bible says, not something that we can see with our eyes. It's not the flesh we are fighting. It's not something carnal. It's spiritual warfare. There is a power struggle in this heaven here. You understand? In this first heaven, the spirit are fighting. The Bible said there is war in heaven. And that's why we can't see. Because in this heavenly realm, which is in the other dimension, the angel of God are fighting against those angels of Satan. They are fighting because they are fighting for you. And here we are also fighting because, you know what I mean? The devil is trying to go against you, making use of you in your carnality to break you down. Huh? So when, you know what? You talk about drafting in the army. Every one of us, when you are a Christian, you are drafting in God's army. Like it or not. We are the body of Christ, yes. We are His bride, yes. Oh, bride going to war? Yes, sir. Huh? Isn't it? Bride going to war? Yes, you must think about it. Huh? You understand that? You know, because when we look at the situation we are, yes, we are the type of Christ, the blood of Christ, we make love with Him. As He begins to make love with us, to make us know Him better, He gets to know us better. At the same time, we also are fighting a warfare because we are in the army of the Lord, fighting against principality and the power of this air. Amen. So it's not easy, you understand that? Oh, now let's go on to this. Now, it says you cannot, that which a man, shall a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, people think that this water here is being baptized in water. It has nothing to do with water baptism. Huh? You understand that? This water has to do with the water of the Word of God. Amen. Do you understand? It's the water of the Word of God. Amen. Paul said in the other epistle, Ephesians and Galatians, about the washing of the water by the Word of God. Amen. You understand that? You see, you can know in the first place when you, how did you hear the Word? I mean, how did you come to accept Christ? How do you and I come to accept Christ? How did we come to accept Christ? Because we heard the Word. We heard the Word. When we heard the Word came upon us, it's like water. You know what I mean? Washing. You see? Come up towards you. As the Spirit of God began to also move. Do you understand? Then the Word of God, as it comes to our heart, the Spirit of God began to speak. And when we receive Christ, that's when we get this conviction. The Spirit is doing a work. But the first stage is always the washing of the water. Do you understand that? Okay? So we need this water and of the Spirit. Now let's go on to verse 8. The wind blow where it listed, and thou hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, here the King James, in fact, the way he put it, that's okay. He said, when we don't know when you find that the wind is blowing here,
we don't know where it comes. We don't know where it goes. It's clearly coming this way, we don't know where it goes. But the actual translation of this verse is that the spirit, the wind, in the Greek, there's only one word for the wind. You understand that? Huh? And because there's only one word, it translates life, breath, spirit, wind. Do you understand? So actually the word here means the spirit of God is the spirit, breathe. Blow, breathe. Remember Jesus said to the disciples, receive ye the spirit. Huh? He didn't, or breathe, you know, on them, whatever it is. But it means the word the spirit blow means that as the spirit began to move. Do you understand? As the spirit began to move, as the spirit breathed, where it willed, and you heard his voice, you hear his voice. So the spirit of God can move when a person began to hear the word of God. As it began to move, you may hear the gospel today. You may not accept Jesus Christ. But one of these days you will walk down the streets, or when you are in the kitchen doing something, and then the spirit of God may just come. And then it may convict your heart, and then you just collapse on the floor and start to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Huh? You understand that? So you must have, first of all, understand that the Spirit of God is to come upon people, those whom God already foreordained from the foundation of, He knows from the beginning. But you do not know who that is. You do not know. How you will apply, how it will come upon you and me or whoever the person may be, you do not know when and where. How many of you can remember the day, the precise time, how the Holy Spirit came upon you? Huh? Some people can feel it. Oh, I remember I just went to a meeting and I was so convicted I just weep and I repent, right? Some people gradually, especially children in the fellowship, raised up by the family, it's a gradual, very gradual thing. Do you understand? It's gradual. So they come to a place, that come to a state where they say, no, I recognize what I am. You know what I mean? And in their heart, they will be convicted. They may say, yes, I'm a child of God all the year, but there is no experience like we are down here. When we come to know Christ, we will probably weep and repent and cry. But they will come to a state of time. They say, oh my, what has the Lord done for me? He died for me. You know what I mean? They began to realize. That's sort of good community. You know what I mean? You see, though they may have already been born again at a certain stage or level without knowing it. But there comes a time when they say, oh, I'm a child. Now this reality thing, you know what I mean? The reality of understanding and seeing this whole thing, who I am. Though I know who I am, but now, oh my, now I see it now. Do you understand? A lot of people can read the Bible and have Bible, but they don't see a lot of things. Very often, someday, they sit down and they read, oh, now I see what this burger is talking about, or so-and-so is talking about. You know what I mean? It's the way. That's why, when we go to church, we can hear a message. But not everybody understands a message at the one particular time. Some take weeks, maybe a month, even a year. You know, you think, oh, that's what it is. And that's why I always remember Brother Hawking. He accepted Brother Branham as a prophet. But he cannot accept the original seed. That serpent seed, he cannot accept. And I don't know how many years down the road that he saw what the serpent seed was all about. Do you understand? That's one of the most important, as I said, we must always be overcoming. We always wanted to know more. The more and more we are overcoming because it's our life. The spirit of the word in our life is helping us. If you don't want to know the word of God, then you'll not be able to come. Because you need the nutrient. You need the fuel. You need the spirit. Isn't it so? Huh? We need a combustion of the word of God, so to speak. You need to hear the word. Okay, the petrol goes in. You need the air. You need the spirit to mix with the fuel in your car to make it move. And so when you look at the Word of God, how important it is for us to study the Word of God, for us to example ourselves together, we need this. Amen. Do you understand that? Alright?
So let's continue down. And Nicodemus, the brother, still said, oh, how can these things be? And Jesus said, well, you are the master of Israel. You do not know these things? Huh? And Jesus said, we speak that what we know and testify that what we have seen. And you receive not our witness. Now when Jesus said, we experiment the leper was with him. Obviously that. So if I have told you early thing, you believe not. How can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? It's very hard. That's why people say, what is, and there are a lot of people who make fun of Christians. What is this born again? Huh? What is born again? I'm born again if I want adultery. You know what they make fun of? Yes. I'll be born again when I win a lottery because I'll get big house, now I'll completely change. You see, so they make fun of being born again. So you only talk about being born again, people don't understand. And do you know now, today, not like back then, of course, in the early 20th century, this word born again is not commonly coined. Even journalists coin the word born again, what is born again, they talk about certain things, they say born again, just use the word just freely. And so somehow saw that born again has no meaning to a lot of people. Do you understand that? Alright? So let us go to another verse in scripture in 1 Peter. Now, 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 18. First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 18 to verse 25. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. And that's one of the things too when we read this, remember. My father is a Catholic. So I'm born a Catholic. So I'm born a Catholic. I'm born again Catholic. You hear people say that? It's common nowadays. In those days, back then early, I never heard the Catholic ever say, I'm a born again Catholic, you know. But today, because of charismaticism, I'm a born again Catholic. I'm a born again Presbyterian. I'm a born again Methodist. I'm born again Baptist. They use the term so traditionally that you go find a place in Scripture. You ever find a born again Baptist in the Bible? Oh yes, I find one that John the Baptist is born again. John the Baptist wasn't even born again because the Holy Spirit wasn't even given yet. You can't be born again without the Holy Spirit given to you. He was anointed, he was a servant of God. So he had eternal life. Isn't it? You understand that? Okay? So, as Peter said, you will not redeem the corruptible thing as silver or gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, and with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, and give him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. See, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all grass of all flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man as a flower of grass, the grass withered, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know, you take a seed, you plant it in the garden, put a seed in there. Then a seed will sprout. Therefore roots, it will sprout. You keep on going up, but in the end of it here, there is a flower. But what is the purpose of a seed? What is the purpose of a seed? It's to reproduce itself. Now all these stages, the stalk, the leaf, or tassel, or leaves, or flowers, or bracts, or whatever you want to call it, whatever it is, the stigma, all of these are part of the life of the seed. But the end result of it is that the seed produce itself. If you ever get stranded in the island, Okay, all you have is coconut trees. And you always have coconut there. But you will have in your hand one mango seed. You got that to plant. So you're going to wait for years though. But you will have plenty of mango. Because seed produce seeds. Plant again, seeds again, you got many. So that's the why that seed is this word of God, Bible talks about. Incorruptible. Incorruptible. When the word of God comes into your heart, you receive it. That seed is incorruptible. It is something that cannot die. Because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the God, and the Word was God. God had declared Himself. He had spoken His, he has spoken His Word, and He will not retract what He said. He said it this way. He cannot change it. He said that He will send His Son. He will give His only begotten Son to be a Savior. He will die for the propitiation of sin of mankind. He will not retract that. And there's no way that Jesus Christ could change the mind of God in any way. Nobody could. Jesus Christ said, Lord, don't. You won't go. Jesus said, you don't know what you're saying. When Jesus went in the last 12 hours of His life, how many of you saw the Passion? Practically, I think all of you saw the Passion, right? Is that right? Okay, you all saw the Passion. I don't know whether, you know, some of you cry. Maybe you all move. You all get emotional. For me, I was watching, there was no emotion. Because I knew all about this Passion. I have read the Bible time and time again. And I have entered into the realm of that suffering of Christ. Mel Gibson did his best to portray it. Very good portrayal. You understand that? Okay, but of course, from a Catholic point of view. But what about the other thing? Other part of the life of Christ. Do you know how Christ moved? Many times we read the Bible, well, it's simple as this. Those of you youngsters in school, well, we are adults, we have been to school, right? You all take literature, we have to read a passage, maybe read a story. And somehow when we read the story, King Arthur went into the court of the king, and he said, I will see you and challenge you, and there's no emotion. But if you want to read the book, King Arthur went into the court of the king and said, I will challenge you. You know, there is emotion. But then when people read the Bible, it's just like that. They don't see the passage. They don't see what's behind. That's why when I read the Bible, I see the ministry of Christ. How the Pharisees withstood Him. How He stand and what He said. What He said, what He said. And you think Jesus Christ speak to the Pharisee, woe unto you, you hypocrite. Do you know? How many people don't see the emotions? You know what I mean? When Jesus Christ was in the garden, oh, I like the portrayal, sure, Mel Gibson portrayed Christ, the way of course, the bell, how the Christ was struggling. You should enter into that realm. That one time when I was back then, early days, you know, back in the 80s when we were having the meetings in the other place, you know. In the morning worship, I can tell I went into that realm. Can tell you one thing, it's so remarkable. In the flesh, you see the passion of Christ, you see the suffering of Christ. Or you know, it's just unbearable. If you can understand the Bible, you enter into it. You are quite a different person altogether. There's not a lot of Christians. They go to church, they read the Bible and study, but they don't really know what's unfolding behind. And I always say this, if you are born again, what is your relationship to Christ? If you say, oh yeah, He's my Savior, He's my Lord. But how can it be if you don't love the Bible? Do you understand that? Sure. You see, that's the one point that Brother Abraham made. And now, many times, many believers and ministers, and what about the men when he said these things? When a woman came out to Brother Branham and said, you don't own the Bible. Brother Branham said, oh sure, I don't know the Bible, that's okay. I know the author real well. Now people don't understand what Brother Branham said. Oh, you mean I know the author real well, he know God more than the Bible? What are you trying to say that? If I know the author real well, that means I know this Bible in the first place. There is no way, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And who was Christ? I am the Word of God, made manifest. Well, you don't know the Bible, you just know God. God show me. Oh, I know God more. You don't know the Bible. Something is wrong. You got to know this first. That is the Word of life. You cannot come to the Father except through the Word of God. Jesus said, that's why I said, I come to declare the Father. Do you want to see the importance of the Word of God? That's what I emphasize now here to start off with on this subject of being born again. The emphasis of the importance of this Word. It's incorruptible and you abide forever if it is in you. Do you understand? Okay. Now, John 3:16. We go to that verse. We know that John 3:16 very well, and I guess all young people can recite, right? John 3:16. Even as young as Jolene, or you know John 3:16, right? I hope no, you don't. Okay, but I'll go and memorize that. I think that's one of the most important verses young people should at least know how to memorize. Do you? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Simple as that, isn't it? It seems so simple. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you have salvation. The word appears as simple as that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou whosoever believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe in Him, you will not perish, you have everlasting life. Simple, right? But what is the word here, believe, entail? There's a lot of people, as Brother Benny said, there are a lot of people, they go into water baptism, a dry sinner came out wet one still. Dry sinner go into water, came out still a wet sinner. And we always remember wet sinner. They can say, I believe in John 3:16. Hey, the devil believe too, don't you know that? Huh? The devil believe. But he trembled. Well, people say, I believe. But they don't understand what it is to mean to believe. That's why John Wesley, when he was converted, before he was converted, he didn't know that. I mean, he thought he was a Christian, wasn't he? He thought he was a believer, you know what I mean? And he wanted to go from England, he went to America to try to change the Red Indian. He wanted to convert the Red Indian. But he wasn't converted, but he thought he was a Christian. And the Indian said, well, I don't want what you have. And the way home, the Lord then show him what it is. And when he went, he realized, a lot of people said they are justified by faith. Huh? Right? Isn't it? By grace, we are all justified by faith. But that is not what it is. Everybody can claim this and that. But what is the evidence of that birth? As well as those, when John Wesley, when he rode on his horses, the church don't want him to preach. Huh? The church of England don't want him. Because they say he's a fanatic. What do you mean sanctification? Hey, we have eternal life because we believe in John 3:16. We are justified by faith. You and your word, holiness and your sanctification, nonsense. They're doing it, they close the door upon him, and what did John Wesley say? The words are perished.
So he took the horse, he said, right, what did he go and preach? He preached to all those miner, coal miner. He preached them. Because many of those people are very Christian. And just saying, even today, in Singapore, some of these big churches, Anglican church, and you know, Church of England, the pastor, after the service, you know, pop a cigar or a pipe. Do you know that? Yeah. How many of you know that? It's in the paper. Wow. What the Bible didn't say, I cannot smoke. Thou shalt not smoke, the Bible didn't say that. You know what? You understand the point. You see? And that's why when John was here, in that time, he saw a lot of Christian, went to the pub. You know the pub? Yes. Drink beer. Get drunk. On Sunday, the half keep saying to go to church. Oh my God. Oh, then they're saying, holy, holy. You know, they're so tipsy. They're drunk. That's why God did this message, sanctification. That got to be an evidence of a changed life. Well, in those days, the multitude of the world, that's okay, because you know why? The whole world of Europe were in darkness. Everybody thought that the way to go to heaven is to walk on their knee, whip themselves. Huh? What do you call buy indulgences? You know what indulgence is? They sell lottery tickets, you know? The Catholic Church sell lottery tickets. So that if you got the prize, whatever, you name the prize and pay your father or grandfather out of purgatory. Purgatory is created to scare everybody. If you're not a Catholic, you'll go to purgatory. Burn, 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 then go to hell. If you burn, 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 somebody pray, you go up. You believe in that nonsense? What did the Bible talk about purgatory? It's so real. Because of people believing things that is not scriptural. Like in Buddhism. It's a very good religion. Yes, philosophical. Confucius also is very nice religion. But it's a religion. It's a philosophy. In Buddhism, you can pray until you really reach nirvana. You're one with the one, and then that's it. All forever. What is that? Otherwise, if you don't live a good life now, you turn to a duck. You turn to a pig. If you're a greedy pig here now, eat a lot, you go to become a pig. Or something like that, go to a lower form. But if you're alive, you're living right now, you know, pray like a good nun, say a prayer, do all that chanting, your life change. Oh, next life, you become a princess or a prince. Or something higher. Where did that come from? It came from Gautama Buddha. A man who tried to find an answer, sitting under Buddha tree, and comes up with these things. You know, that's why, what is the evidence of true religion? It's doing good. But what is eternal life? What is salvation? That's the idea that you must be born again. He says, I'm the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto God but by me. Amen. Anybody else claim that? Nobody else. And Jesus Christ claimed that. He's the only one who says, that's why he says, we preach what we know. Huh? Salvation is of the Jew. You Samaritan women, you don't know what you worship. Oh my, the Jew says, this man is a blasphemer. Kill him. Crucify him. But he came to deliver the word. And he laid his life down. He said, no man take my life. I lay it down willingly. Hallelujah. You know that? So you are all born to live. He's born to die. You ever thought of that? Jesus, the moment he was born, he knew that he's going to die for the sins of the world. He's going to get that burden. I can tell you one thing, that you cannot save yourself. I cannot save myself. We're all bound for hell. That's one place we all go. And if he says, oh, brother, how do you know? There's no God. That's what AAT says. And Gnostic says, well, if there's a God, let him be. So who cares? I ever wonder where you come from? Why do you exist? A lot of people don't. That's what a firm mind doesn't believe. He says, oh, talk to him about it. He goes, oh, come on, show me God. I say, well, show you God, simple. When you're on night duty, the time you're working as a nurse, or night duty after you are finished from your night work. You are very free now. In the night, go out to the field. Look up in the sky. And you tell me. What about wisdom? I don't even know what I was saying to him. But he asked me, so I told him this. Next week I went back. Richard, come. Come and talk to me. There is a God, yeah. Come on, me, you're so sure. So when I look in the sky, I saw those things. It cannot just exist by itself. I said, you're wise. Foolish people think, oh, these stars, this sun, this moon, they all exist by itself. They know how to, you know, the man of Mars says, okay, I want to move around the sun. They all say, I also want to move around the sun. They all say, I'm the only one that will have human beings and living things. And all the you Jupiter and all you Saturn and all this Pluto. No, I'm the only one that will have all the living things. Where do you get this idea? Where do you get this idea? Bang, 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 all this, all the theory comes out here and there. It's a whole good theory. But this thing exists because there is someone. You know why I say this way? Let me say this way. I am because He is.
Amen.
You heard some? Sometimes people talk to me very silly thing. And I want to give them a silly illustration. And they call me stupid. I say, think about it. Who said that first? Thing come by itself. I always say, here's an example of the watch, you know. I said, nobody wants to come by itself. I pick up some plastics and some metal, put a box and shake it. After 1 year, pop, comes out this watch. Say, ah, that's nonsense. I said, that's nonsense. Same thing. Where do you come from? Huh? Some pieces of rubbish join you and make you a human being? No. We exist because there is a creator. King David said, I am wonderfully and beautifully made. Look at the body. It's a marvel. There are so many things in this world that mankind invented is falling the human body. Think about it, isn't it? They're trying to create a robot to move exactly like a human being, right? Finally, they're able to make a robot to look at least like a man. Huh? Last time you know how the robot works, you know what I mean? You know the. But now I can tell you they can do it because why? They have their technology. A lot of things because they see the human mind. And that's what I know about the computer, the same thing. Wow. Talk about that? There is. And be sure, one day you're going to meet God. That's what the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. We have to give an account of our life. And Jesus Christ says, I come to give my life to you. No man come unto the Father but by me. I'm the way. The way to what? The way to God. I'm the way, the truth. The truth of what? The truth that I'm God. The truth that I'm the one that have all these things shown to you. That's just written in my word. I'm the life. One life. Eternal life. Life of God. True life. The life that you live right now is not true life, you know. This is natural life, it's not true life. Because we're all born and we have all this pain, oh, you know, when you're born, your little baby, walking, you know, your parent. Oh, my precious little one. I don't know, I hope you young people know, you know. Oh, when John was born, I can tell you, man, I just love this little kid. So, I said, handsome boy, or things like that, I'm fed him. You know, wash him up when he go and poop, whatever it is. You know, make him sure he's clean. When he gets scared, money, money, daddy, honey, how? Oh, just what happened? You know, we do this, right? You understand that? Grow up. But you know, when you get another kid, teenager like you, you fall down here, you feel this pain, money, I've been hurting, all this. You know, when you go older, well, now, I'm 56. I'm a bit cranky now. We got a bit cranky. You saw me feel the pain. You call this life? You know what I mean? You suffer this affliction. You know what I mean? This is not life. But because I'm a child of God, I have the life in me. I know what God has done for me. What I'm looking forward to. Isn't it? This body has no power. There's nothing good in this body. But God has sown a seed, Christ Jesus, so that when he grow, he'll give us this seed of life, so that we all will be part of that seed. We all inside one seed. All those mango seeds come from one mango, right? Sure, you plant one mango seed, then you have a lot of mangoes, you plant all those other seeds, they all come from the main one. That's what Jesus Christ said. I said, I set a grain of corn die, it will not bring for much fruit. So Jesus said, I laid down my life. You see, and then I raised it up. Not only that, see, I bring a family for God. So if you take the word, you are part of their life. Amen? Now, The word believe from the Greek word is P-I-S-T-E-U-O, P-S-U, kind of pronunciations are a bit hard. But that means faith. But there are two words in the scriptures. But we are going to look at some of these words. This word here means to have faith in, to have faith upon, to have faith with respect to a person. Go to Matthew 21. Let's quickly go to it. Matthew 21, 22, 25. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, believing you shall receive. Verse 25. The baptism of John, when was it? From heaven or man? And the reason with themselves saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not believe in him? This is to believe in somebody, something. Okay? That's the beginning of what faith that he is. Mark 9. Mark chapter 9. And verse 23 to 24. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And straightway, the father of the child cried up and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Okay? That's the beginning. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beginning to believe. Believe. Luke 8, 12. Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Those by the wayside are there that hear, then come with the devil and take away the word of God out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He's talking about a soul, right? Yeah? That's not how a lot of people come to hear the word of God. A lot of Christians hear the word of God. A lot of people come to church to hear the word of God. But they don't grow. They don't let the word grow. So the devil can take it away. And we have John 5:24. I love to play swords, drawing swords. Draw a sword, you know. When I was young, I said, draw a sword. Everybody started to take the Bible and start turning leaf here and there and find the scripture. See how fast you can draw your sword. I can tell you one thing, when you come to war, if you draw your sword too slow, you're dead. So the same thing, when you find a devil, you better know how to draw your sword. Alright? John 5:24. Verily I say unto you, he that hear my word and believe on him that sent me, have everlasting life. I shall not come into condemnation, but his power from death unto life. He that believe on him that sent me, believe on. Beginning to believe on the person. So there is always beginning on stage. Now, here we have another word in the Greek here. Pistis. Which is basically the same from the word believe. But the Bible translates most of the time translates as faith. But have faith in God. Have faith in the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? We can use either word, but there is a distinct something about the way the word is used. Though it may appear the same in whatever, but let me show you something here. This word here, faith, is persuasion. A convinced person who is convinced. Something you are convinced. Inwardly. Yeah, I believe the man said what a man said is true. You can say that. But the question, how much convinced are you? Inwardly, there must be something that takes place inside, not just what you see. And I believe. You understand? Now, when we look, let us look at some of the word. This is something that's inward inside you that is of a certain that you know what you're talking about. What you believe, what you say you see. Okay? Matthew 9:27, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, when you talk about seeing somebody's faith. You know what I mean? You think about it. There are a lot of people lying in a what a baptizer too, huh? Okay? All said, yeah, they are afraid to go into the water and things like that, right? Perhaps some of them say, just give up. They said they believe. Huh? So, a lot of people came to Jesus Christ. They all said they believe. They said they believe. But you know, in many cases in the Bible, there are certain person that manifest faith that Jesus could see. I mean, there is a deep conviction in the person's heart. Do you understand? And the Jesus said, you see their faith unto the sick on the palsy. They are good. Cheer. Thy sin be forgiven thee. Let us go to Mark 5, 27. Mark 5, 27. To 34. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And immediately Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue was gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou ceremony did troning you, and you say, who touched you? Who touched me? And he looked around about, see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, this faith is something of a conviction. This woman, no, if I just touch him, I will be whole. You know, just say, I believe him. It is more than something. The faith is put into action. Faith is a fact, but faith is an act. Faith is a fact, but faith is also an act. Jesus said, believe me, you have eternal life. That is a fact. But then, you see, you claim that there must be an act. That's why it takes a little bit more than just people say, oh, you know what, Jesus can now say, I have eternal life, I have salvation. It's more than that. Okay? Now, let's go further. Luke 18:8. Luke chapter 18 verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them spirit. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth when the Son of Man returns? When Jesus Christ comes back, shall he find faith? You know what he just asked us a question. Will he find faith among the Jew? Will he find faith among the Gentile? Will he find faith? In fact, when he comes back, will he find faith? People believing in the right thing, doing the right thing, believing in the act upon it. Oh, that's because I'm a pastor, I go to church, I'm a Baptist, I go to church, I'm a message believer, I go to church. And that's what it is. There must be a life. There must be an action. There must be a manifestation. You understand that? Okay, now let's go on. Matthew 17:20. Matthew 17:20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be removed hence to yonder place, it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you have faith of a mustard seed, have faith. If you have faith, now the word have faith, two words, huh? Let's go to chapter 21, verse 21. There Jesus said, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also which you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and shall cast into the sea, it shall be done. You see the word there? If you have faith. If you have faith. Towards. Okay. Let us go one more. Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. Jesus said, answering said to them, have faith in God. That's what King James said, right? Have faith in God. But you know, Young Translation has a better word, have faith of God. Huh? Have the faith of God. You see what I mean? Have the faith of God. So here is something that it must be revealed to you. Amen. Now you can say, I'm a child of God. but I believe in John 3:16, I believe in Jesus Christ. But that's where the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes in. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life, that is a fact. But let me see the fact by the neck. Huh? Now, Acts 2:38. Let's go, a few more verses and we are going to finish and give you an understanding about it. Acts 2:38. Well, we all know Acts 2:38, or don't you? I do. Acts 2:38. Now, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So now, Peter will go a little bit further. Concerning the gospel, what is preached in the book of the gospel, Peter will go a little bit further. Now what he had, he said, is that repent. Be baptized. Alright? And then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. No, he didn't say believed and be baptized. He said repent and be baptized. So you cannot repent in the first place if you don't believe. Amen? Okay, so what? How many stages are there when you involve true salvation? You cannot believe. You cannot repent in the first place if you do not believe. Right? And when you believe, what are you believing? You are believing on Lord Jesus Christ. For what he has done for you. Is that right? For he has shed his blood, he has given himself as a propitiation for your sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So you believe on Jesus Christ, you repent. That means that you must realize you are a sinner. Because you believe on Jesus Christ, the devil believes too. But you must believe in him to realize that he is the Savior. He is your Savior. That you are a sinner. You cannot repent if you're not if you don't believe you are a sinner. Isn't it? Huh? Nathan cannot call Brother Gregory father if he doesn't believe his father is his father. Simple as that. You cannot confess when you realize and believe on it. So you repent of your sin. Repent. Then you baptize. Now is water baptism important? It is important. But does water baptism save you? No. So if it doesn't save me, then why must I get baptized? Why? Because if you have faith, you act on it. As simple as that. You understand what I'm saying? If you have the faith, faith is a fact, isn't it? Yes, I'm saved. But Jesus said, okay, be baptized then. Oh, unnecessary, but he says in John 3:16, believe in you have eternal life. You don't say one portion of scripture, you understand? Do you understand? So you can't be baptized because you want to testify to everybody that I'm now a different person. I go into the water, I'm dead in sin, I rise up, a new life. I'm raptured with Christ Jesus. I died with him. Now I'm raptured with new life. I testify to it. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is it a true thing? Here you move from belief to repent to baptism, then you continue to Holy Ghost baptism. People think that they go into water baptism, they come out, they get a Holy Ghost. No, not at all necessary. Do you understand? Many get very wet, dry sinners get out a wet one. And no change. Doesn't believe, oh, I repent, I go to water, I get the Holy Ghost, Mary, I come out. That's not true. That's a lie. As Bob used to say, Lord, bad people, you know, bad, some denominator, they go, I should have passed their hand and feel that they are born again. They are Christian. And I can tell you many times the pastor say, oh, you are a good man. You are a good woman. Make the person feel good. Ah, I make your life miserable. We are coming here to be judged by the word of God. You see, if I don't have a child of God, I cannot be happy. If I'm miserable, it's because there's something in me that God wants to tell me, get rid of that thing. Amen. You say, okay, you're going for that. Now, 2 Corinthians 3. Let's not read that. Why is it so important that? No. 2 Corinthians 3. I like this because I love this passage of scripture because of that caterpillar stuff. How many of you love caterpillar? Yuck. Some people just scream when they see the caterpillar. You know, you should. Sometimes some part of Singapore is infested with this caterpillar, you know. If you ever have. That's why one time when we were living in the present place, and we saw the whole trees, there are trees on the roadside. Wow, caterpillars, so many. And they are big ones, really big ones, about 2 inches long, the green big one, juicy one. So we just collect a few and then break some branches off, bring it home, put in water, you know, the put the branch into a bottle of water to sustain the leaf. And we just see these 3-4 caterpillars eating the leaves away. That's what I observe. I want to say how it behaves. Eating up all the leaves, and there's no more. You go up to stop, down stop, go up a stop, and it's ready to jump. And sometimes they jump out of that. They want to jump, see, find some other place. Actually, they commit suicide, jump out the window because they put near the window. And that's, you know, why you ever see why the caterpillar cross the road? That's a question. Why the caterpillar ever see? In fact, that's what happened back then in Choa Chu Kang. We had all this infestation. And the tree was only eaten up. The caterpillar was trying to cross to find another site. See, you know, that's why they crossed the road. To find food. Why do you need to cross over Jordan? Why did Israel cross over Jordan River? You know, they get over the other side. Of course, you know, spend simple thing. What's on the other side? Oh, that's life. You understand that? So, let's read the first, 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 17, and chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Spirit, the Lord is a Spirit. And while the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Now you're not bound by law. Huh? Please remember this. You're not bound by law. I must not do this, I must not do that, I must not do this. No, we don't have law here. We have liberty. But the Spirit of God is going to lead you, and you ought to know what you should do and what you should not do. You understand that? Huh? We don't have a policeman that says, stop! You know what I mean? No. The Holy Ghost will guide you. That's why we talk about the Spirit of God guides us. He didn't command us this and Lord this. No, not at all. Alright, well the Spirit of God is there. But we all, with open face, beholding. Open face means, don't close your mouth. Just open up. You know what I mean? Free looking at the glass, the Word of God, alright? As in the glass, the glory of the Lord. The glory of God. The Word of God, the Shekinah glory, all that God is, the holiness, the glory of all the living, of our living God, our Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. And even as the Spirit of the Lord from one stage to another stage, from one stage of glory to another stage. That's why we are all moving on from glory to glory. Look back, last year. You should have been better now. You should have grown to be fatter in the spiritual thing of God. Isn't it? More mature as you come on, you move on glory to glory. That's why the caterpillar came on shedding until you matured. That one of these will be changed into a butterfly. Alright, wherefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we fear not, and have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor having the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man conscience in the sight of God. So Paul said, let me tell you the truth. The last few days, or weeks rather, get this email coming. But again, can you tell me what born again is? Can you tell me literally what salvation really is? I got all these people in this end time message telling me, I must believe in William Branham, I must do what he said, this and that, and everything, then I am a child of God. You know what Brother Ben used to say? If you are born again, if you have the Holy Ghost baptism, you believe every word of God, right? You see, but they were telling you, see, this denomination, they don't believe that, no, they don't have the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's easy to conclude like this, isn't it? The same thing I can also conclude. John 3:16, I have eternal life. Why should I get baptized? You understand what I mean? Just because brother make a statement does not mean it overrides everything. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I have to clarify this to all the people out there. Those people are got confused. And every time they go over, many of them challenge me with all these quotes about it. You don't take the one quote or the two quotes and overwrite the Word of God and make the Word of God no effect. Because if you do that, the Bible itself seems to have a lot of discrepancy among itself. Isn't it? That's why we have the Muslim, they have the debate with Christians, you know. And they even put books out. Oh, the Bible has this scriptures in one place, it says in one place, it says that. Do you know how they harmonize? They don't even know how to harmonize it. They don't even know how to harmonize it. And that's, you know, what the Bible has written in the way the fool, the wise, and the prudent. But to the best, God will reveal how this thing is harmonized.
Amen.
You see what I mean about this belief and so on, how it takes stages? Huh? Jesus said, believe! But how many people can say, well, I really believe? Yeah, I believe, I believe. It's easy to say, I believe, I believe. But do you really believe? That's the question. The devil also believes, but do you really believe? Do you understand what I'm saying now? See, so it's not believing in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. It's not believing in Luke 17, 30, that give you eternal life, that you have the Holy Ghost baptism. No, sir. This is the letter I wrote, just small little few. Let me just read it out. Repentance could only come about after a person is convicted of his or her own sin upon hearing of the Word of God. True repentance will lead to Holy Ghost baptism. You understand? Now, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 12. For a year, back 2 years, never denied Christ, came back. I was baptized in front of the Holy Ghost in the examines of God. But when I was there, I received the Holy Ghost baptism. I can tell you one thing, it's such a powerful thing that it hits my life. But people say, hey, you can have the Holy Ghost baptism, but you are baptized in your Father's Holy Ghost. So what? When if I have it, God will continue to walk in my life. That's what when the message came. The moment I saw it, that's the truth. What about then? Jesus said, I went back to the water and I got baptized again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if there is faith, there is the faith of God, the revelation of God showed to you. You will have it. Not just, oh, I faith in Jesus Christ. But did you have the faith of God? God showed it to you. What did Ephesians say? By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself is a gift of God. How do you know? How do you know that Jesus Christ is the Savior? Because God gave you this faith to see. Amen. That He is the Savior. Amen. That you are a sinner. When you receive, oh God, so I'm so sorry, and you repent. It's just God's grace to give you this faith. This revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. So, true repentance will lead to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A person may repent, as you would confess about the Lord. But only a genuine one will lead to receiving the Holy Spirit. In different religion, of course, we know the worshippers, you know, different religion, they may go through a true repentance. You know what I mean? The Hindu, they're all different group, the Catholic, you know, Holy Week in Philippines, different pagan religion. They all go to the temple, they go through all the ritual, they go through a stage of real repentance, whatever it is, before their gods. But suddenly they didn't receive the Holy Ghost. Did they? No. You understand what I'm saying? You are talking about a God who is not the God of the Bible. A God that is not real. God is made of wood or stones or some figments of some man's imagination. So again, true repentance comes from believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You must have the true repentance. Exactly. That belief is total reliance upon the Lord. That's why the word believe. You believe on a person. You must have a total belief on Him. A total reliance. Those believers, now in the book of Ephesians, you know, Paul saw those people that were not baptized. Right? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now the problem is that these people in Ephesus, what if they did not receive the Holy Ghost? Did they receive the Holy Ghost? Because first of all, they only believed the words of John the Baptist, preached to them by Apollos. Unto the one who is to come, isn't it? Unto the Messiah that is coming. They didn't know anything else. So they believe, of course, they cannot receive the Holy Ghost because they don't understand more than that. But are they saved? Yes, they are saved. Is Moses saved? Yes, saved. Daniel? Yes. Those in the day of Joshua? Yes. Those that believe? Yes. Do you understand? So there is a stage, you see. So then, of course, those persons did not receive the full word. so to speak, because a lot of things were not revealed to them. So Paul obviously expounded to them about Christ, His death, His resurrection, His ascension. Then after hearing what they heard, then why? They know. Then they went to water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul prayed for them and received the Holy Spirit. Is that right? So now, it is true that man is justified by faith. But faith is an act. To say that I have salvation because I believe in the Lord, but refused water baptism, would contradict my faith. Got it? So it would contradict my faith. Abraham was imputed righteousness. He was not baptized. Of course, at that time there was no baptism. But Abraham was imputed righteousness because what? He believed God. Yes or not? Yes. For he not only believed in God, he had the faith of God. Why? One day God told him, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him. Did he refuse? No. He didn't argue with God, but you give it to me. Now you want to take him away. No. He had the revelation. He had the faith of God. So he acted according to what he received of God. So if you receive the truth, you know what it is. You have the revelation of it. You act upon it. Therefore, by your faith, as one confesses, you shall know them. The denomination, of course, they do not know better because they were blinded. But denominational tradition. A true, genuine repentance before the Lord Jesus Christ gives one salvation. Therefore, he has the Holy Ghost. If you have true repentance, whether baptism or not, is immaterial here. Huh? You understand? You may get the Holy Ghost. But how what you do with the Holy Spirit in your life is the point of contention. How are you going to walk in Him? People end that message, I believe Malachi, I have the Holy Ghost, I believe in the original seed, I believe the serpent seed, I get water baptized in Jesus' name, so do you mean they have the Holy Ghost? I can tell you many of them, they don't. What's the difference? Because of revelation. Because of the true faith of God. To know what it is. Now, how he walks in is another thing. There is another part in the word of Christ, and that one part is what we all missed. John the Baptist said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That fire is the word of God, purging us to walk accordingly, not something every believer can fully accept. He shall not only baptize you with the Holy Spirit, but with fire. He's going to purge you, cleanse up you up, and line you up with the word of God. People say, oh, Christ cleansed me from all sins. I know. He cleansed us from all sin. What is he going to do with the word? That's what the Bible said. God put his word above his name. He put his word above his name. Do you understand that? Because he can't break his word. He said this must be done, it must be done. He said that must be done, it must be done. And if you find hard to conform, and if you're really his child, you know what? He's going to tailor-make you to conform to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because in the family of God, there's no bastard. You understand? There's no illegitimate child of God. You're all born again, sons and daughters of the living God. You have to be, and there's no such thing, anything else. And in the family of God, there's no grandson, no granddaughters. You understand that my son, I'm the son of God. He's not a grandson of God. He has to be a son of God himself to come to the realization of what God had done for him. Do you understand that? That's why the fire, when God began to purge people, what this will why going to be accepted? When the fire of God will come into the church, they deny it. They don't want it. And the evidence of the fire above the blood of the prophet's head. You understand the anointing? Why? It's the pillar of fire, the same fire that God is. Because God says, I'm holy, be you holy. And my word is above my name. How important is it? So you understand now what salvation entails or entail? Huh? What born again really it really is? Do you understand? We have to follow the word of God as it is laid down. Not then when you have your own ideas and traditional walk, then you contrary the word of God. That's why we don't walk in tradition of the churches or the denomination. We walk according to what it is because we are living in an end time. God will have a bride. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father,
We bless the holy name, we glorify thee. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you have done, Father. And I pray, Father, Lord, this would be spoken. It helped every mind, Lord, that do not fully understand, to understand. How important it is, Father, not just to believe, Lord, and just say we repent of our sin, that we are a child of God. But Lord, if we have the faith to believe in you, we got to have the faith to know you and what you want of us, and that we follow. And truly, Lord, if we are disobedient and we oppose your word, then Lord, how could it be that we have, how can we say that we have the Holy Spirit? Because your word said that you give us the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, to guide us and lead us into all truth. Because Christ himself is the truth. And we are to be like him, Lord, to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. So Father, Lord, you fulfill your word in our life. Touch us, even as you guide us, Lord. And if we should choose to go on our own way once in a while, be a good shepherd, Lord, if you have to deal with us to break our leg or an arm, so that we stay by your side like a shepherd who takes care of his lamb. We know that you will, Lord, because you're going to tell and make a bride for our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, we ask for your grace abundantly, Lord, to give to us, that we can embrace it, Father. And the Lord, as we embrace it, Lord, in this liberty that we want in Christ, that we will not disgrace your word, that we will not disgrace what you have given us in this hour. For there got to be a manifestation of the children of the living God in the days to come. And Lord, we look forward to that promise. The world may not know it. What is out there in the world, with all their social gospel, their traditional gospel, all that they have been doing, Father, in charity, philosophy, and whatever it is, Lord. But now we are living in end time, the light of thy word, Lord, is seen to be failing in many churches. But there is the light burning in the people that are called by thy name, a people that you have, Lord, so ordained from the beginning of the foundation of the world, that you will help them as your people. They will not see death, like Enoch did not see death, like Elijah did not see death, Lord. But there will be another element of people that will see death, or pass through tribulation like Enoch, or like Noah, Lord, or like Moses who died and is resurrected again. We thank you, Father, Lord. We pray, as Paul said, he strived, that he will achieve, or come to that place where he will enter into the resurrection, Lord, and be caught up in the rapture. So we thank you, Father. That's all now. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.